What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the booty booty. It's time to get this party started. It's the booty booty. It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey, it's MLS Box to Box. Listen, there's a lot of football coming up. Euro, you have Copa. But MLS does not shut down. So we're going to cover MLS here on Footy Prime, as always. There's still a hunger for it, even though it won't get the national coverage it does in Canada. Listen, it's Jimmy Brennan, and it's Craig Forrest, it's Dan Wong. And hi. Back to Footy Prime, it's Paul Dolan. Dolly, welcome back to Footy Prime, mate.
Great to finally get to see you guys again and speak to you.
All right.
He sounds so happy, doesn't he, the big man?
If those that don't know, which is everyone, we've had some issues connecting with Dolly the last, 20 minutes. But that's okay. We have time here. All right, Dolly, as you heard there, obviously we have big games coming up in Copa and in Euro. MLS does not shut down. The commissioner says they cannot shut down. You'll hurt their partners too much, hurt the game too much. There's so many stars missing the next few weeks, maybe as long as a month. Do you think we should just accept it? That's just the reality of a league playing through the summer? Or have we got to find out a way to kind of remedy this moving forward?
I wish there was a way that you didn't have to lose so many good players. But if you're a summer league, which the MLS is committed to being, it's always going to be the case, isn't it? Because it's not just Copa this year. It's Gold Cup next year. It's World Cup qualifying. It's international breaks. It's the ongoing FIFA calendar that you're up against all the time, regardless of what season you pick. Obviously, in Europe, they make time for the breaks by having a proper week or two or 10 days in between games. But MLS tries to balance that a little bit by asking the teams whether they want to continue to play through the breaks. And they also do reduce their schedule a little bit, as we saw last week when there was only four games. But I don't think it's ever going to be ideal. It's unfortunate that some teams will really be affected by missing so many good players. It's almost that catch 22. If you want to sign really good players and better players, international quality players, but if you do, then you're at risk of losing those players when these breaks come up. So it's a tricky one to balance, but I don't think we're ever going to see it change just because it's not just a one-off year. This happens every single summer.
Yet they found a way to shut down for the League's Cup. there's always a way.
Yeah, that's true.
If the money's there, there's a way, but it's a shame. But anyway, listen, we're midway through the season now, around about the halfway point for most teams. Has it been a bigger surprise for you so far, either from a team perspective or a player perspective? What stood out to you most so thus far?
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me, I'm a little surprised how well Toronto is doing, although, you know, just the one win in the last six. So is that reverting to the mean again? They seem to be kind of up and down, but it looks like John Herdman's getting as much as he can out of that team, which still needs reinforcements, in my opinion, and obviously overcoming injuries and even red cards to some degree. Getting Richie Larea back in there will help. But, you know, that was one surprise, I guess, is that they're still in good contention based on where they were the last couple of seasons. You know, for the Whitecaps, I think that were a pleasant surprise to start the year. Maybe if they kind of come back to where they should be right now. I think one of the surprises, and you know, I'm thinking of a Canadian perspective here, is Minnesota and how well they've done without Emmanuel Reynoso, who finally they've been able to dish to Liga MX and Tijuana because of the, you know, the history that he's had of not appearing and not showing up. I was talking to Mark Watson, our old friend, Canadian national teammate, last year a lot about him and not showing up at the beginning of the year and how difficult that was for them. And they had a poor season without him. This year, without him, they've been really good. And I think in large part down to a couple of Canadians there as well. And the goalkeeper, Dane St. Clair, who's had a good season, bouncing back after what was, I don't think, a very good season for him last year. I don't know if you agree, Craig, how he played last year versus this year. He's been much better after a really good year 2 years ago. So, you know, the ups and downs, again, of a young goalkeeper and that team in general. But the youngster up front, Tony Eloise, the Canadian who's been just added to the Canadian list for the Copa America. Now, I'm not sure if that's official yet, because I know he was at the friendly, but he's just been incredible there. So I guess I would say that Minnesota has been a surprise for me as well. And obviously Real Salt Lake, you know, the fact that they're tops in the West and continue to score with Chicho Arango there, and what he's been able to do for that team, it makes you wonder why LAFC would ever have gotten rid of him. But then you look down the pipe and you see a guy like Denny Bwanga, and they just, the rich get richer there with Olivier Giroud coming in.
Who do you think, Dolly, is the most affected from this Copa America break with players?
Well, if it's the best player in the world that's not available to you, then, you know, I'd say Miami, except that without him and without Luis Suarez, who was added to the Uruguay squad as well, they still came to Vancouver and beat up the Whitecaps. So, you know, maybe they're not entirely affected too much by this. But again, you don't have Lionel Messi in your team, you're going to be affected. So I think, and the fact too that they're going to go straight to the final, you would think, right? Or at least late stages. So he'll miss a lot of games, I think as many as six MLS games. So that's a big hit to them. Minnesota was another one because of those two Canadian players. I mentioned Kervin Arriaga as well for Honduras, and Rosales as well. And the two Finns, right? Timo Pico and Robin Lud as well, missing for Minnesota. So I think they're a team that got hit maybe harder than anybody else. And Toronto's missing five players as well that you could argue could be starters.
It's a problem for sure. Can you give us some more information on Elio Washu? Obviously, we saw him come off the bench for the first time for Canada in a friendly, right? So he's still not cap-tied necessarily. And for a team that has John David, Carl Lahren, who's not had a great season himself, Ike Ogbu, I mean, a team without that much depth, really, it could be potentially a very exciting move for Jesse Marsh.
You know what? I was looking at some numbers for Elio Washu, and he's in the 99th percentile, or at least a 90 and above in a few categories in MLS right now versus other forwards, meaning his attacking numbers in terms of his assist creation, goal creation, expected goals, shots, that type of thing, are all 93 or above. So it's just been completely out of nowhere. He wasn't even that necessarily a high MLS draft pick. And I hadn't even heard of him, frankly, until he started banging in goals left, right, and center. And now he's doing it for fun. And it's one of those things, too, as you know, with goal scorers, once you get that confidence and you think you can do anything and you can score from anywhere in front of goal. But he makes great runs, gets in behind, clever in the air as well. Like, he's a good all-around player. I've been really impressed by what I've seen ever since he has started scoring for Minnesota, mainly off the bench to start, but now getting the sniff of international action and the confidence that goes with that. He could be a key piece both for Minnesota and you'd hope for Canada down the road as well.
Yeah, definitely one of the big surprises so far, as is the mess in Columbus right now. Did you see that happening? You know, Bez Pachenko leaves. Friend of the show, Corey Ray, leaves, of course. They lose to Pachuca amidst food poisoning on the weekend. I mean, what's happening in Columbus right now exactly?
That's sad to see, because I think Bez Pachenko was a big part. Obviously, Wilfred Nazi, huge there too, what he's been able to do with the Columbus Crew. And Corey Ray, to some degree, I don't know as much, you know, as you do, but maybe the background there. I know he's with Toronto at one point as well. and obviously they had success with TFC before going to Columbus. I hate to put this on CONCACAF Champions Cup because you would want to see MLS teams do well in that tournament, be able to play in that tournament, and still have success within the league. But it just feels that maybe it's a bridge too far sometimes, whether it be a little bit of lack of depth maybe, or just the fact that there are so much fixture congestion. But that's the same for the Ligue MX team. So it is difficult, as you know, going away. And they played at 8,000 feet altitude as well and then got the sickness. So that one-off result I wouldn't put too much down to based on those factors. And they're obviously a fantastic team. But to see the moves, and I guess you could say that Bezbachenko's done everything he can in MLS, right? Mm-hmm. With TFC and now with Columbus as well. I guess the other one, too, is Montreal and having their backroom staff disrupted a little bit, too. And you wonder about that and how that affects that team, because they need every piece of quality they can at Montreal in order to get over the line and even have a possibility to get into the playoffs. And without that backroom staff there, that I think Olivier Renard had done a great job, you know, and then you've got Vasily moving on as well. That's going to be difficult for them. But I guess that's part of MLS too, right, is that these people, just like the players, have opportunities to move on and above into more challenging roles, perhaps, and want to progress their careers. And that's what we're seeing with some of the backroom staff in both of those cities.
Would you say Montreal is maybe one of the most disappointing stories so far of the MLS season halfway through?
I think so. You know, Martinez, I thought we'd see a little bit more from him, although it has to be said he is getting on now. You know, you lose some players. I think it's been difficult for them because they don't have that quality in their depth. So if they're front 11, their best 11 aren't playing as well as they normally would, then you've got no chance. Jonathan Sear was a phenomenal story last year, hasn't had quite the year this year, but he hasn't been protected much either, so much so that they've even made the change to Bretza the last couple of games, Sebastian Bretza. So I agree with you, James, and I think that unfortunately that's a team that we thought might be able to move in the right direction in terms of progression and has actually regressed a little bit over the last, well, at least the first half of the season anyway. There's still another half to go, but I don't necessarily think there are signs there that unless they make some signings in the summer transfer window, that we'll see any real big improvements there.
Yeah, I mean, it is MLS, right? It's a strange old league. Halfway through the campaign, you kind of know what you have, but it's never too late to make a run for a playoff spot, right? And once you're in the show, You never know, do you? You mentioned Miami there and their domination, generally speaking, you know, not every week, but pretty much. Do you think it's good for the league when you have a team like that being so all-empowering? Do they need to win this thing to carry that narrative forward, do you think?
I think it's great for the league. You know, a lot of what happened around the whole Messi missing in Vancouver, believe it or not, as much as everyone was really upset by it, and I would be too if you'd paid to see one of the best players in the world or the best player in the world and he wasn't able to make it for whatever reason, and you know, you can throw blame back and forth. The fact is he wasn't here. That even stirred it up even more, you know, that this superstar team, and but then they come up here and they win without him. So they've got kind of a villain status right now. You either love them or you hate them. And I think you want that in leagues, just like you had in the Premier League with Manchester United or whatever. And, you know, if you go on through all the different leagues where you've got the best team that everyone wants to knock off the perch, Bayern Munich in Germany, it goes on and on, right? But I think it's good to have that in MLS, where I have no problem with the fact that any team on any day can win a game or even a championship, you'd think, based on the parity and some of the levelers that are within the league. But to have a superstar team that everyone wants to knock off that perch, even though they haven't even won the thing yet, they won the League's Cup last year, of course, but I think it's good for the league. I mean, to say that Lionel Messi is not good for the league in the first place, those are words that can't come out of anyone's mouth and be taken seriously, because he's been absolutely phenomenal for MLS in general. And then for Miami specifically, I think it's excellent. I think it's good to have that that one superstar team. We've seen it in other leagues too, where you have these runs, you know, whether it's in other sports, the dynasty teams that everyone wants to knock off. And so I think that's the case with Miami right now.
I think sometimes that's what you need in the leagues. I mean, I think the LA Galaxy were kind of that team for a while that nobody really liked, or the team they wanted to knock off the perch. So I think it is good for the leagues.
Do you think this is a point where – do you think this is a point as well where the rest of the leagues looking at Miami thinking – if Messi's gone for maybe 5-6 games or losing a few other players, this is the time where they could be dropping points?
Yeah, I wonder, Jimmy, because like I said with Vancouver, they must have been licking their lips. No Suarez, no Messi, no Busquets, and really Miami, they won that game 2-1, but it probably should have been a bigger scoreline. So I almost feel, too, that the players who aren't day-to-day in the Miami lineup that now are going to get a chance – are thinking, well, this is my opportunity. And this is my opportunity. And Tata Martino is thinking the same thing, to show people that we're just not a one or a two or three man team. We've got some depth here. I think if anything too, it kind of maybe you'd hope motivates MLS or the other teams to think bigger, you know, than just let's just get over the line. Let's bare bones this thing through and bring in players that we think will be competitive. Let's take it to the next step and let's try to compete at that same level. It's going to be difficult, of course, to spend the type of money that Miami does. But I think and I hope that there's an awareness now that, hey, if we really want to make MLS the next big soccer league around the world, maybe we do need to think as big as Miami has thought over these last couple of seasons.
Yeah, I wonder who's next. I mean, the transfer window isn't that far away. I wonder who's next to being linked with move to MLS, because Messi has certainly opened the gate, so to speak, to that. All right, here's a tough one for you, Dolly. We've kind of discounted Montreal in this conversation, but I know Vanni Sartini said a while back that Vancouver's the best team in Canada. Can't we just agree on that? who is the best team in Canada right now? You like TFC, obviously, what they've done so far, but is it still Vancouver?
It does seem to change on any given day. It looked like Vancouver was flying away with that early in the season. They beat Toronto FC 4-0 here. And it looked like Toronto was going the other way after a really good start. But things change, like I said, with the whole parity of the league. Unfortunately, I think for Montreal, they're not in that conversation right now, and the table doesn't lie. I think Vancouver will have more to say. There is talk of something in the summer window where they bring in a player that will solidify what needs to be strengthened, I think, in that side that is a decent team, but really relies heavily on Ryan Gold and Brian White. And without those two players, should there be an injury or what have you, you know, then they're lacking some depth there too. So that team needs to be strengthened. And I feel the same thing for Toronto. But it's going to be neck and neck between the two, and it might come down to the Canadian Championship as well to kind of determine that. And, you know, Vanny says to us when we spoke to him ahead of the Toronto game that this means the world to him. That game did. And the fact that he's got the Canadian Championship trophy on his arm tattooed, that means a lot to him as well. So if those two teams get through to the final and end up playing against each other, I think, you know, maybe that's, again, for this year, we can determine who's the best team. But at the end of the day, it's going to be where you sit in the table. And right now, I would favor Vancouver probably to finish a little higher than Toronto at the end of the day, at the end of the season in the MLS.
When we talk about the best team in Canada, is it about winning a trophy? And if you don't win a trophy, is it where you finish in the standings or who wins more head-to-heads?
Yeah, well, I guess there's only going to be the one head-to-head in MLS this year between Toronto and Vancouver, and that was a bit of a smoke show. So I guess Toronto would say if they won the Canadian Championship and towards the end of the season, their record has improved to the point they could look back and say, well, we were out without Richie Larea, we were without some other injured players. We hadn't brought in, you're thinking, reinforcements in the summer. That it was too early in the season to have a factor in the head-to-head side of things. So I feel it's going to be, the old adage that the table doesn't lie for me is kind of where it stands. And trophies are important. You know, even if it's a competition where you're only playing a few games to get to the final, I think that head-to-head is probably the one that matters most.
And let's be honest here. Let's look at the big picture this season in MLS. Our TFC in Vancouver, who's at this point, from what you've seen so far, can you see going on a deeper run in the playoffs? And to me, it's Vancouver so far. right? Now, much can change in the summer with who comes in and whatever, we understand that. But right now, Dolly, it's Vancouver, isn't it?
I think so. But what I would say is in playoff runs, it's all about, I think it's about match winners. And if you've got an Insigne, if you've got a Bernardeschi who's playing as well as he is this year, if you've got a Sean Johnson who can stand on his head like he has in some of the games this year, then you can win a game. In a game of football, as you know, one big save and then one goal the other way. And we saw that early in the year, didn't we, where Insigne single-handedly won them games after Sean Johnson had saved them games in the same game. We saw that right to start the season. So I think that threat is what maybe makes them even more dangerous in a one-off playoff situation. Of course, you have to get through the best of three in the first round. That's why the seedings matters. You don't want to be playing a really strong team in that best of three, where generally the better team wins over the case or over the course of a three-game series. But for Vancouver, I do feel that they're a stronger overall team and that you also have game winners there in Gold and White, but not to the same degree that you could pull out some magic like an Insigne. And I think their goalkeeping has been good with Takaoka. Still, I think that there's levels that he can get better. And they've got players throughout the field like an Andras Kubas who kind of solidify that team and make it very difficult to score on. So, you know, if you're looking at both of them, I think you've got a well-rounded side in Vancouver that could make a run, but maybe doesn't have that match winner that Toronto does that could, on any given day, win a game that they probably shouldn't have.
Trouble is, though, getting Berner and Insigne on the pitch at the same time, that's been the problem, right? It's great on paper, but either Bernardeschi's suspended or Insigne's injured. I mean, it's been a very frustrating season for that, but you know, as we go on, perhaps he can figure that out, hopefully, because the potential is there for sure. Okay, any more questions, boys? We have to roll producer. We've got a meeting to get to. But Wonga, you're muted right now.
Yeah, I wanted to just, Dolly, I wanted your insight on the FIFA World Cup's coming in 2026. The CONCACAF teams have, their first matches were not looking great. Canada 4-0 versus getting pumped 4-0 versus Netherlands. The States losing to, I think it was Honduras,
Colombia.
Sorry. Yeah. 5-1 and Mexico losing to Uruguay 4-0.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And I mean, look, they've come back good setup by Canada and good draw by the US. But what do these, like, that's a little scary right now, right? These are the host teams who are looking rather ragged.
Yeah. I almost feel that the one that I would be most afraid of if I was a supporter of Mexico, I just feel like Mexico is in their worst way right now. I don't know, guys, if you'd agree with that. But, you know, I speak to some of my other ex-teammates, Colin Miller, players like that, who've been watching the CONCACAF closely. And I feel like we haven't seen a Mexico team this poor in the last ever, right, since we can remember. Especially within the region itself. But for the U.S. and Canada, I just feel that the players...
We have just lost Dolly. We just lost Dolly.
You know,
it's on the cliff there.
Hey, it's a good question. And
not, but...
Warner.
Oh, there he is. He's back.
He's back.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah, we're back. Yeah, we can now. Yeah,
okay. Finish off, because we lost you when you said that you were getting to something really insightful about Mexico. Haven't seen anybody, but you just, it was with Canada and the U.S. That's where you kind of we got lost.
Okay, I'll start there again. I think with Canada and the U.S., though, you've got two teams that with the player base that they do, and with, you know, Jesse Marsh coming into Canada, yes, you lose your first game 4-0, but it was an excellent first half. You could see some of the system that he wants to implement within that game. But you also saw, I think, in the second game that he looked at it and said, okay, maybe we need to adjust one or two things here to get the result that we need to get. And, you know, he's only had 4 or 5 days with that team to get the best out of them. So I feel more confident about Canada going forward and the response they had to that game against the Netherlands and how well they did against France and even maybe more so too with the U.S. and the bounce back game they had when they played against Brazil and drew 1-1 and really had a strong game, you have to say. So that was an outstanding response. Whereas with Mexico, I just feel that that's a team that just doesn't have the same quality that the others do right now ahead of 2026.
Yeah, I was looking, Dolly, at the greatest ever players for Mexico, and unfortunately, most of them were playing right through our time, through the 90s, you know. Cap.
That's right, yeah. No, it's the absolute truth. And Mexico home games,
yeah.
We've talked about this before, I think, but the Azteca now, with an 8 o'clock evening kickoff, and the shrimp and prawn section, and all the renovations they've made for the wealthy, you know, instead of the 120,000 life or deathers that come out at noon kickoff in the smog and heat there against a Mexican team that had more Mexicans playing at altitude. It's just, it is so completely different now that same fear of going there just isn't there.
Yeah, they don't even want to play there.
No. Do you think maybe the rest of CONCACAF is starting to catch up to them now? Where Canadians are developing more players, the Americans as well.
Yeah, look where the American players are all playing. Every single player in the 11 is playing in a top five league around the world. And that's starting to happen with Canada now, too. We need more of that. We need more depth. But it's great to see young players like Derek Cornelius, like Moise Bombido, like Ismael Kone. I was so impressed with those three.
Yeah.
So more so than the Davies and the David and the Buchanans that we have now seen get into those leagues. Those three excite me, not just based on one performance, but what I've seen throughout Moise Bombido in MLS, for instance, with Colorado. He's going to be a player. He's going to be a very good player. He's got some, you know, fantastic athletic ability. And for him now under Jesse Marsh and in Colorado with Chris Armas to be able to develop into the type of player that we think he could be, and a Kone as well, who's got to get a big move. That's what excites me about Canada.
I agree.
Not to mention off the pitch, there's big issues in Mexico too, right? The manager, Jaime Lozano, people determine, like, is he even making the selections at this point? There's a power struggle there, it seems, which is great for us as Canadians to know that we're not the only country in CONCACAF with issues off the field. Believe it or not, everyone. Believe it or not, but they are apparently getting remedied as well at some point. So it's positive times. Dolly, listen, thank you so much. Keep up the great work on Season Pass on Apple. And we'll chat to you real soon as the second half of the MLS kicks off.
Great to be with you guys. Anytime. Take care.
Thanks Dolly. Pal.
Cheers, Dolly.
Okay. Paul, yeah, sorry, Dolan, for all those issues. I don't know. we'll get it started next time.
It's all right. Hey, it's Footy Prime. It's what we do. It's what we do. We have technical issues all the time. All right, guys. Until next time, make sure you check out our three questions, Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver on your favorite podcast platform. And we're back on Friday for a big question and answer session. We'll put some posts out on social. Give us your thoughts on anything you wanted us to talk about, be it Copa, be it MLS, be it NSL, be it Euro, whatever you like. That is Friday's Footy Prime. Until then, cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Thanks, Tony. That was great.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime, the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/FootyPrime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.